pray for those churches that we pray for. I don't know if I ever mentioned that, but if you didn't notice, we put different churches in our bulletin to pray that God's word will go forth and people will come to their churches and just worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what we pray for our community, that God's word will go forth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege we have on Easter Sunday. And there's so many different ways, I guess, you can tell the Easter story. And after all these years, you kind of run out of things to say about how to say it. But we thank you for the word you gave us today, for this incredible verse that we're going to appropriate today in our lives. I just ask you to open our hearts today and let us receive just one verse, and let it settle in our hearts and allow it, God, to work into our lives in a very special and spiritual way today. I ask it all to your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, most people have I'll just call it like a lucky number or a special number, whether it's your favorite number that if you play a board game or whether you have, if you play baseball, you want to make sure you have Mickey Mantle's number on your back, number 7, and you want to have Babe Ruth's number or whatever. Or if you're a basketball player, you want number 30 on your back because you know you are Seth Curry, right? Or Michael Jordan was your favorite hero, so you have 23. And we have these numbers on hockey jerseys or football uniforms or whatever. And we have our numbers on it. We associate with that number. But whether you're investing and whatever, there are numbers with numerology in the scriptures. We deal with numbers all the time. Well, on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to talk to you about another number, not just a magic number, but I'm going to call it God's magic number. The number I'm referring to is actually the number of a verse in the Bible, and that number is 316. It's the number of the greatest, the most famous, best-known verse, I believe, in all of the Bible. It belongs to a verse in John. And all I have to do is say John 3:16, and I would be willing, I promise you that the vast majority of you can repeat that verse without even seeing the words. Is it on the screen? I don't want it on the screen. Let's say that. Can you say that with me right now without looking at it? Ready? John 3:16 says what?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
Son. Amen. God bless you. You can go home now. The service is over. Woohoo! You know, there's not another verse in the Bible that I could do that with in any church anywhere. If I could get the entire world to memorize only one verse in the Bible, that would be the verse. There are 25 words in that verse. The middle word, the 13th word, is the word Son, which refers to Jesus Christ. It's amazing how he divides the verse into two parts. The first half of the verse is all about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The last 12 words are all about us. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What an incredible verse this is. It's short enough that you can write it. You can even write it on a napkin if you're in a restaurant. And yet it's long enough to tell anybody, all they need to know about how they can have a relationship with God. You can shrink this verse if you want to. You can shrink it down to 4 verbs. And you can understand the verse completely in 4 verbs. Here they are. Love, gave, believe, have. 4 verbs. Love, gave, believe, have. Basically, here's what you learn from this verse. God loves, God gives. We believe, we receive. You see, John 3:16 is simply, it's Christianity 101. And this Easter Sunday, we're going to take this verse apart. We are going to learn Why 316 is God's magical number? Because of this number, because of 316, number one, we can experience God's love. We can experience God's love. Listen to the first six words again. For God so loved the world. I've got great news for everyone here today. If you are in the world, you have made it to God's love list. Isn't that great news? Because that is who God loves. Yes, if you're in the world. God's love includes everybody. Now, are you ready for this? There is nobody in this world that God does not love. I had a hard time writing that. There's nobody in the, I have someone in North Korea that I, there's someone in Syria, but nobody in this world that God does not love. God has not yet brought a person into this world that he didn't love before that person ever got here. That means the only thing that has to do to be true of you for God to love you is just, you just have to be here. You just have to show up. And it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many times you've turned your back on God. How many times you've walked away from God or disobeyed God or denied God or forsaken God. You know what? It doesn't even matter if you don't believe in God. He believes in you. God loves you. In fact, he can't even help himself. He can't help himself because the Bible says in 1 John 4:16, God is love. He is love. God doesn't just love. He is love. And the reason you are alive right now is because God loves you. God made you in order to love you. Now, he doesn't love you because you're good. And he doesn't love you because you deserve it. Doesn't love you because you love him back. He loves you without any preconditions or without any guarantees of anything in return. That's what unconditional love is really all about. So think about this again. God loves the world. That means it's not just a national love. He loves the Gentiles as much as he loves the Jews. It's not a political love. He loves the Democrats as well as the Republicans. Why are you laughing? He does. I can't help it. It's not a racial love. You don't care what color you are. He loves you. It's not a financial love. He loves the poor as much as he loves the rich. It's not a physical love. He doesn't care what you look like. It's not an intellectual love. He loves the ignorant as well as the educated. It is a total love. He loves anybody and he loves everybody. All right, let me put it another way. God's love has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you at all. You know, other people may love you because of what you can do for them or how attracted you are to them or how you appeal to them or how they can influence you. But God doesn't love you because of you. God loves you because of him. He is love. And listen, you can't influence God's love. You can't do something so good that it'll make God love you more than he loves you right now. And you can't do something so bad that it will make God love you any less than he loves you right now. Okay? You know, it gets even better than that. Because I read in Psalms 89, verse 2, it says, God's unfailing love will last forever. Forever. You'll never have to worry about God coming into your life one day without warning and saying, I don't love you anymore. You never have to worry about anything like that. God's love never wears out. It never ends and it never fails. God loves you on your good days. God loves you on your bad days. He doesn't love you more today than yesterday, no matter what the song said. And he doesn't love you any less today than he will tomorrow. But you know what? There's a little word in that phrase. We kind of skip over that word. And it's the word so. So. Why does it say God so loved the world? You see, it's not just that God loves, but it's the way that he loves. God doesn't just say he loves us. He has shown that he loves us. How did he do that? Well, we got to keep reading to find out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God proved his love to us by giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10 says this. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that, I want to pause there. Every time you see that, so that means it's going to explain what you just read. There's a reason for what I just read. So that God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that, here's the reason, we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, he says. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Just think about that. To show us that he loves us, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send an ambassador. But he gave us his Son. He gave us his Son. He demonstrated something. I heard about a guy who was always telling his girlfriend, he said, baby, I love you so much, I would die for you. Finally, she said, you know, you're always saying that, but you never do it. God did it. God did it. Because when you love, you give. That's the mark of true love. So think about this. If God had not given his Son in birth, and if Jesus had not given his life in death, there would be no Easter. There would be no hope. There would be no forgiveness. And there would be no heaven. But because of this magic number, 316, we can experience God's love. But there's more. The second thing we can have, we can embrace God's grace. We can embrace his grace. God loves us so much that he gave us the greatest present of all, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. He didn't give it to us because we deserve it. He gave it to us because he loves us. He didn't give him to us because we earned it. He gave him to us because he loves us. And all you have to do with the gift is just receive it. You just receive it. In God's world, the way you receive is believe. That's what he wants you to do. Just believe. There are two gifts spoken of in this one verse. Two gifts. One is the Son, and the other is eternal life. When you believe in one, you receive the other. Got it? When you believe in one, you receive the other. That is why it's called grace. That is what grace is. If somebody brings you a gift and you just let the gift sit there and you don't unwrap it, that wouldn't be very smart. Yet people die every day without ever unwrapping the greatest gift they could ever receive. God has a gift for you. The way to accept that gift and unwrap that gift is to believe. It's to believe. The reason why so many people have a hard time understanding the concept of grace is because we don't really show grace too often to each other. That's why we don't really understand it. I read a story, and I thought it was pretty interesting, about a man named David Hagler. He was an umpire, go figure, Rich, in a community men's baseball league. And he tells his story how one day he was driving too fast And a policeman pulled him over and gave him a ticket for speeding. Tried to talk his way out of a ticket. Told him he was very worried about his insurance and his rates going up. And he was really a careful driver. He just wasn't paying attention. And he begged him for some grace. But the officer wouldn't budge. The officer told him if he didn't like the ticket, he would have to take it to court. About a month later, the very first game of the men's community baseball season started. And Hagler was umpiring behind the plate. The first batter that came up that season, guess who it was? Yeah, it was the policeman. Hagler immediately recognized him, but more importantly, the policeman immediately recognized him. His face turned white as a sheet. He nervously asked, hey, how did that thing with that ticket go? Hagler looked at him and he said, you better swing at everything. See, but that's the way we operate. That's the way we operate. If you don't help me, I don't help you. If you don't cut me a break, I don't cut you a break. That's how we operate. Guess what? That's not the way God operates. That's not the way he operates. No. No matter what you've done or how far away you have come from God, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive God's forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. You got that? The moment you believe, don't care what you've done. See, it's right here where a lot of people, they completely miss the boat. There are a lot of people who think they believe in Jesus, but they really don't. See, believing is not just knowing something. It's not even affirming that it's true. Believing is trusting. It's trusting. You know, they had a recent poll that said 82% of Americans agree with this statement. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. 82% believe. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Big deal. The devil believes that. The devil believes Jesus is the Son of God, but you're not going to find him in heaven. Amen? See, the word believe literally means to commit to surrender to, and to trust completely. That's what the word for believe means. To commit to surrender to trust completely. All right, I can say this. I believe in Karl Marx. I believe he existed. I believe he founded communism, but I'm not a communist. I believe in Hitler, but I'm not a Nazi. I believe in Osama bin Laden, but I'm not a member of Al-Qaeda. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am a Christian. Why? Because my mind knows the truth about Jesus. My heart has affirmed the truth about Jesus, but my will has committed my life to Jesus. There's the difference. My will has committed my life to Jesus. And you know what? You better get this believing part right. You better get this believing part right, because listen to the rest of the verse. 3:16b. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, shall not perish is a synonym for spending eternity in hell. You know, Jesus posted a do not enter signs all over the entrance to hell. And he's even said to us, we've quoted this for so many years, if you want to go to hell, you have to go over my crucified, dead, and resurrected body. But just the same, some people will receive eternal life and some people will perish. Only one thing will determine the difference: believing. Belief. God so loved you that he gave Jesus for you. Jesus so loved you, he gave himself for you. He died and he was buried and he was raised from the dead so that you could have a relationship with him. Amen? In a moment, I'm going to make it easier for you to do that than I've ever have with anyone for anyone in my whole life. But what happens when you do believe? What happens when you do decide to embrace God's love? The third thing, we can enter God's home. Here's the result. Look at the last part of that verse. For whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know what eternal life is? Eternal life. Eternal life. That is the ticket to heaven. It's the ticket to heaven. Remember, when you believe, you receive. When you believe, you receive. There's some people who think you have to wait until you die to find out whether you're going to go to heaven or not. That is not true. Here's why. 1 John 5:13 says this. Look at it. John, Jesus said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that, you see that again? So that you may hope that you have, does it say that? So that you may know that you have eternal life. That's why he's writing. So that the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life and the moment you become a part of God's forever family, God gives to you eternal life. See, it's not something, it's not what you're going to get. It's what you already have. It's what you already have. Listen to these two verses when we read them together. John 5:24 and John 6:47. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John 6:47. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. See, eternal life does not begin when you die, but it begins when you believe. It begins when you believe. And please think about that word, eternal. Eternal. I don't care how you define it, whatever that word means. You know what? It's a long time. It's a long time. You better wake up and realize that you are going to spend far more time on the other side of death in eternity than you are ever going to spend on this side here on earth. Okay? You'll have to agree with me in this statement then. If eternity is waiting on the other side, then you had better go into eternity with eternal life. Would you agree with that? Say amen. You know, you can close your Bibles. You don't even have to open your Bible. You only had one verse to look at. Amen. But you know what? Let me close with this. I want to just kind of tie this up. I'm a football fan. I love to watch football games. I love to watch pro football, college football. I love to watch the championship college football games. And I remember watching Tim Tebow. Anybody know who Tim Tebow is? All right. When he played for the Florida Gators, and then even for a while in the NFL, often when he plays, underneath his eyes, he would write a scripture reference with a black eyeliner kind of thing, you know. And before a college championship game, at first it was always a verse from the book of Philippians. But as he went into this championship game, he prayed about it, and he decided to change the verse for the very first time. And if you watched that championship game back then, you'd have noticed that underneath his eyes was a scripture reference, John 3:16. And the most amazing part of the story is not how Tim Tebow performed, they won the championship kind of thing, but the most fascinating fact about this was that the public relations person from the University of Florida football team called Tim and he said, did you know that you set a record 2 nights ago? He said, what do you mean a record? What kind of record are you talking about? He said, from the start of the championship game, in the next 24 hours, John 3:16 was Googled 93 million times. No other topic ever. Yes, it does. No other topic has ever been Googled so many times in a 24-hour period. Isn't that wild? And he, you know, he was contemplating skipping his senior year and moving on to the NFL. And then he thought to himself, and he publicly said this, he said, that is 93 million reasons why I should stay at the University of Florida. And then he went on, and he didn't go to the NFL. But the two magical numbers for Tim Tebow was 316 and 93 million. And that's, I thought that was pretty cool. But you know what? It doesn't even end there. Here's a little P.S. at the end of this story. Exactly 3 years later to the day, Tim Tebow was playing in a playoff game for the Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many remember that game? Yeah. And they won the game. But the person who keeps the stats came up to him and he says, "Do you know what you did?" And he said, "Yeah, we won. We won, and we're going to play New England." And he says, no, that's not about that. Do you know that you threw for 316 yards? Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. The ratings for the game were 31.6. The time of possession was 31.6 minutes. He said, "What a coincidence." Tim Tebow said, "No, big God." that's amazing. I thought that was just amazing. Amen. But for you and me, that magic number comes down to one. What are you going to do with 316? God loves, God gives. If you believe, you receive. If you're ready to accept that, I'm going to make it so easy on you that you can't miss it. I'd like to have the worship team come back up now if you can. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and you don't have to close your eyes. You can keep them open, and you can look at this prayer. It's going to be on the screen in just a minute. And I would like you to follow along with me with this prayer. You could speak it out loud. I hope you will. And if you're willing to make 316 your magic number and make this Easter Sunday a day that you will remember for eternity, then pray this prayer with me. Right now. Can you do it? Is it on the screen? It's there now, right? Let's pray it all together. Let's all stand. I want us to do this as a whole church. Let's pray it. Ready? Pray. Dear God, I confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and Lord. I believe he died for me. Of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
You know what? Usually we ask, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to congratulate you. But I'm going to ask reverse. I'm going to ask, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, and you know that you're not really where you should be, and you said, you know what? I'm going to draw a line in the sand this Easter. This is my time. I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but maybe I got away from it a little bit. And I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer for kind of like a recommitment thing, you have enough courage to just slip your hand up to God right now and say, "That was me. Me too." Look at that. And that's just being honest. That's just make a recommitment to God in our hearts. But if you did pray that prayer for the very first time, and you say, "Pastor Sam, today's my day. I made a commitment to Christ today. I want this Easter to be the most special Easter of my life. I want that eternal life that you spoke about." Do you have enough courage to raise your hand and say, "I prayed that prayer"? God bless you. God bless you. Congratulations.